Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. Welcome to My Vagina. This is Josie Karen.
And this is Rebecca Frank. And here we are again, having our current historical, hysterical, and infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably research. Just kidding. Fools. It's definitely research. First off, we want to say thank you so effing much to our first donator. Who knew we could actually be making money off of this the whole time?
Yeah, shit just got real. We ordered stickers.
We did order stickers. We're mentioning this because we want to let you know that we just got all of our handles together. There are places that you can donate to us, so if you want more production or better production, I don't know that, how that's even possible.
I don't think it's possible.
It would really help us out. We're hoping that eventually we can do one a week if we get to a certain point. So if you like what we do and you want to hear more of it.
And you want some WTMV merchandise, which is our next step.
Next step, we are going to have that. So reach out to us.
Yeah, become a support.
Please support.
Where are we, Jesse?
You can find us on all the things. We are on Venmo at Welcome to My Vagina. We are on PayPal at Welcome to My Vagina. We are at LiberaPay.
I was going to say, at what?
We're on Libera, LIBERA, pay.com at
Welcome to My Vagina.
Big surprise.
Yeah, shocking.
And we're also on Patreon at
Welcome to My Vagina.
We really appreciate donations. We appreciate all the support that we've been getting. So be our next supporter.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
Please.
Thanks, everyone.
We cried.
We did.
We cried. So if you want to see us, like, do, well, fuck it. We'll video a dance every time we get a donation. That's how I feel. You don't want to do it?
I'll be a sloth.
Okay.
I'm a terrible dancer.
Rebecca's going to be a sloth, and I'm going to dance, which honestly is way better than the original plan that I thought. So.
Women are very special. I think it's a very special time because a lot of things are coming out, and I think that's good for our society, and I think it's very, very good for women, and I'm very happy a lot of these things are coming out, and I'm very happy it's being exposed.
Hi everyone, today's episode contains information about the sexual assault and rape allegations against Trump, so there is sensitive material.
Trigger warning.
So, we're going to talk about something super fun today. Our president, who has admitted to sexual assault on tape, I said salt, sexual assault. Sexual assault.
He likes his sex properly seasoned. Okay. Okay.
Has been accused for the 24th time of sexual misconduct. 20.
I have 25.
Four. Is there 25
I
now?
I have 25. Son of a because whore. None of the lists include Katie Johnson, who was the 13-year-old at the time. So yeah, our president's a rapist. That's the episode. The episode is...
Our president is a rapist.
The rapist in chief.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. My whole stomach lurched forward.
Yeah.
If you missed this story, it's because it didn't really make the front page of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they've been going on different talk shows and stuff, but it has not just same thing with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, it's been on the front page now, but like. Nobody knew that was even happening. Like
yeah.
NXIVM, that sex cult.
Yeah.
Like fucking barely.
It's breaking news.
Yeah, it's a big fucking deal.
And apparently they're bored because our president does a lot of sexual assault.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
His response alone
should have been on the news for days, months, until it gets through our heads that he is a rapist.
Yeah, he's a rapist.
And actually, this, I wrote down his quote, which is, I'll say it with great respect. Number one, she's not my type. Number two, it never happened. It never happened. Okay. First of all, that's not respect. Second of all, does that mean there is a type?
Yeah. Like, is that, do you
that's
have
okay to rape?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he does this every time. He, in order to say that he didn't do it, he's like, oh, well, she's ugly. Mm-hmm. I would never rape her. It's like that same thing that people do. It's like he is a real life internet troll, who people who go after women on the internet and say you're too ugly to even rape.
Yeah, like
that's what he's saying.
When are we going to get through our head like that, that a woman's attractiveness has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not they were raped?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, not really sure why we still struggle with that.
It's insane.
But we've also, like, we've all heard some version of that from some guy.
Yeah.
Who was like, you're not hot enough for me to rape.
Yeah, it's always like, if, like, this is a fear that I've always had. I don't know if you've ever shared this, but,
and
you
that's
know,
how you know they're a rapist.
Right, yeah. But, like, when, but, you know, sometimes, like, a dude will hit on you and like, you know it's happening. Mm-hmm. And when you make the decision to call them out for it, they'll then backtrack and be like, oh, no. And they get mad. And they're like, no, you're not hot enough for me. Oh, I wasn't hitting on you. You're not my type. You're not, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it becomes about us. Mm-hmm. So this is like another way to shift it and be like, I could never do that because look at her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a way of passing off rejection and just diminishing the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was watching Sam B and she was, I thought, this quote was good where she was like, don't say you have a rape type. You weren't her type either.
Yeah.
Which is the problem. Yeah.
All right. So we thought that because people haven't heard of a lot of these women, we thought that we would take the time to read off all 25 of the women who have come forward, who have spoken out. So this by no means is an exhaustive list, because if there are 25 people coming forward,
there's got to be more.
There's a ton more. So Jessica Leeds.
Ivana Trump.
Kristen,
his ex-wife, sorry.
Yep. Kristen Anderson.
Jill Harth.
Lisa Boyne.
Mariah Bilotto.
Victoria Hughes.
Temple Taggart.
Kathy Heller.
Karina Virginia.
Tasha Dixon.
Bridget Sullivan.
Melinda McGillivray.
Natasha Stoynoff.
Jennifer Murphy.
Juliet Huddy.
Rachel Crooks.
Samantha Holvey.
Nini Laksonen.
Jessica Drake.
Summer Zervos.
Cassandra Searles.
Alva Johnson.
E. Jean Carroll.
Katie Johnson. So there's your list. I just got shivers. That's a lot. That's a lot.
These allegations never seem to affect him either.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has 25 accusations. 25.
Yeah.
And it's barely news.
Yeah. And when we, because Jesse pointed out that Ivana Trump was his wife. And in the divorce proceedings, she had accused him of rape. Mm-hmm. She walked that back ultimately. But Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, who a lot of you might have heard of, argued in 2015 that his client could not have raped Ivana because you cannot rape your spouse. Fast fact, you can rape your spouse. It's called marital rape.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't even have to be qualified.
It shouldn't even be called marital. It's just rape.
It's
just rape. If somebody doesn't want to have sex with you, it's fucking rape.
That's it.
And it's scary too, because she brought up the assault that he jammed his penis inside of her for the first time in more than 60 months and that she was terrified and it was a violent assault. And then she backpedaled, which almost only makes me like more concerned when things like that happen, mm-hmm. because, and we're going to talk about it soon, but Katie Johnson also was one of the women who dropped their charges, and that doesn't dismiss, like, just because they dropped the accusation doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't make it less credible, but it does make me worried, like, who got to you?
Yeah. Or yeah, like, what threats have come your way?
Yeah, it's really dangerous.
Yeah. And you know, if you get blackballed by someone like Donald Trump or Jeffrey Epstein or Harvey Weinstein, I know a lot of people that are our listeners have read a lot of those accusations against Weinstein, and people were afraid that they were going to be blackballed from their career. And this is the price of doing business, and it shouldn't be.
And it's all the people that they're surrounded with that keep that don't say anything.
Exactly.
I mean, even the fact that Epstein avoided serious punishment for so long is just a reminder that our justice system has long, like for too long, been willing to ignore the words of girls and women, especially when they're accusing wealthy, powerful men.
Yeah. And when we look at Epstein, he was able to, with the help of Alexander Acosta, the former labor secretary, because he just resigned, he was able to organize a deal that none of the people who helped him recruit all of these people that he, all these children that mm-hmm. he was farming out for sex, they all got immunity. So there, so the conspiracy to commit a sexual, just commit sexual violence against children doesn't get leveled up to that level of conspiracy because all of the people that helped to usher them into his arms are they get immunity. I think that, I feel like that might get overturned because they didn't abide by certain other agreements that were made, but I'm not sure about that. But still, like that was an agreement since 2008 that all these people were shielded. So that's like, that's just an important thing to remember when people respond to victims and ask why it took you so long. Well, this is why.
Yeah, people always ask that. They're like, why do you take so long to come forward? And then we look at people like Anita Hill and Christine Blasey Ford and, you know, even Trump recently was like, we don't want what happened to happen with Brett Kavanaugh all over again. And I was like, what happened? He now has a seat on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And Christine Blasey Ford has received death threats. And like other people who have come forward have been driven away or dragged through the mud and dismissed. And like only Trump, all he has to do is turn around and say he didn't do it. And everyone just believes him.
Yeah. And people, or if they don't believe him, they just stop asking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, people go into hiding. They get afraid. I mean, it's, that's scary. And on top of it, like we all read the news. We know how the women or the victims are vilified so many times. Mm-hmm. And you know that they're going to find you.
Yeah. I was also listening to, what's this woman, Soraya Shamali of the Women's Media Center speech project about rape myths. And she brought up a lot of really great points. And she was like, we have a cultural predisposition to perpetuate a lot of rape myths. And one of them is that women excessively exaggerate as victims. They make things up and misinterpret things. So instead of the woman's testimony being considered valid or even giving her the benefit of the doubt of not being a liar, the culture attributes lying to women who come forward. But we tend to immediately assume the man is innocent.
Right. This question gets asked, like, who did you tell anybody about that day? And the women are always asked, and they need they need people that they told on that day to verify their story.
Yeah.
But who's asking Donald Trump?
But even when they have corroboration.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, E. Jean Carroll has corroboration. And like, is that going to matter? Are we going to see any consequences from that?
No. And fucking statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Can fucking suck it.
Yeah. And like, it's a powerful disincentive when the president of the United States refutes your story.
Yeah.
Or says he never met you, even though there's a fucking picture of you together.
Also, just thinking about the fact that one of the qualities that we know Trump has is that he requires absolute loyalty from those who work with him and from his supporters. And so as he's becoming more sexist, he's basically requiring more and more loyalty from his followers, and that's why we've seen him be so much more overt with his racism and sexism as time has gone on, because he's not going to lose those people. If he hasn't lost them yet, they're not going anywhere. So at this point, the people that you're dealing with, if you come forward, the people that you're dealing with are like the tried and true Trumpers,
right?
And that's fucking scary, because they have a lot of defending to do, because this guy's a fucking animal.
Yep.
He is an immoral piece of shit.
Yeah, but like even outside of like the loyal people, everyone else kind of just lets it go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we said this in the beginning, but the media, if the media is tired of talking about it, imagine how tired the fucking women who have been sexually assaulted by him are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So I did have this poll. The mistrust of women obviously breaks down along gender lines. CNN did a poll measuring the response of Christie Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. 61% of women believe the women, but only 43% of men do. These findings are not surprising at all. And a study of nearly 1 million comments on New York Times stories revealed a remarkably similar gender gap in believing Dylan Farrow's claim of sexual abuse by her father.
I have to say that Dylan Farrow, that story... She is one of the most disbelieved victims of all times, I think.
Yeah.
And like when we talk about, you know, Anita Hill, and I think that she is, for a lot of us, she is an icon. Her strength, her resolve, sitting there, like that photograph, she's incredible. And Christine Blasey Ford, and the woman who was raped behind that dumpster, writing that letter that so many of us have read. And I think that so many people, the propaganda machine to discredit Mia Farrow or Dylan Farrow was so fantastic that she has just, that like she doesn't even get brought up among these people who took on incredibly powerful men and who endured all of this stuff and who we should believe.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why her brother is writing about this stuff for The New Yorker.
Yeah. Yeah. As it should be.
Yeah.
We should be fucking talking about this. But
Mia Farrow or
Dylan Farrow.
Dylan Farrow, we believe you.
We do. We do believe you. But I mean, those studies show that men are obviously more likely to disbelieve women, to endorse rape myths, to blame victims and exaggerate claims that women lie. And like, I think it's funny that people are still asking why they don't come forward sooner.
Yeah. And like look at yourself, you know, like why are you doubting? Why is that little bit of doubt going into your head about what she was wearing, what she was doing there, why she would go to that place? Like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like none of that stuff matters. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things that we have been programmed to wonder about, all of those act to make us believe the men, because it's always about trying to prove that the woman is credible, and it's never about looking at the man's behavior.
No.
He is a pillar of the community, regardless of who the fuck he is, and she's a gold digger.
Yeah.
Every fucking time, trying to bring him down, trying to do something, like she becomes the predator.
Mm-hmm. I think it's crazy too, because like I think the outrage over his election was kind of what pushed the Me Too movement even further into the mainstream, but somehow he's totally immune to like any consequences about it, because we seem to have a different standard for him. Like, can you imagine this happening to any other president? Can you imagine this happening to Obama?
I mean, it's like beyond, it's completely like,
that just
unreasonable.
Blew my mind.
yeah I mean, but we also think about the fact that as much as we think he's an idiot, there's still a certain amount of credibility to the office of the president.
Yeah.
I think. And so when he's saying that he's above the law, which we know that he isn't, we're all acting like he is.
Right.
Because so many of the things that he's done are impeachable offenses. And honestly, his overt racism and his history of being a rapist should make him unqualified, to disqualify him from holding the office that he holds. Because how can he preside over a country that is made up 50% of women when he has absolutely no respect and sees all of them as like just like things that he could fuck? And he's like, you know, dealing with Roe v. Wade, with like, do you think that a man that would rape someone in the dressing room of a Bergdorf Goodman, or say that thing that he said on Access Hollywood, do you think that person cares about your reproductive health?
No, fuck no.
He's making these choices.
You know, the Me Too movement has kind of been cool because, like, we've been, at the very least, equipping people with, like, a certain type of language and, like, the ability to come forward and have some level of support system.
Mm-hmm.
But this worries me because, like, it's still the same story.
Yeah, it's the same story. And, you know, even as we have seen a bunch of very powerful men be taken down, I'm thinking, like, Matt Lauer, you know, and Louis C.K. and Charlie Rose, and they're all trying to pick right back where they left off. They think that they can go hide in their house for 9 months and come back. And the thing about it is they might be able to.
Yeah.
They will be successful.
Yeah.
And that I don't understand, and I will never understand why rape and sexual assault do not forever taint you.
Yeah. I'm hoping, because it seems like this generation is definitely trying to make this more clear, that to kind of destroy the taboo of shame that surrounds rape in terms of like rape victim.
Rape dictums.
Jesus.
I do not want to live there.
That was a really bad.
Yeah, that sounds like that's a terrible place. Let's not live in a dictum. No, thank you. Hard pass.
Oh, I did need that laugh break, though.
Yeah, totally.
But I think we're kind of trying to finally start to like dissect that that rape victims are not the ones that should feel shame, that they can come forward in a space where that doesn't taint them for the rest of their lives. What it should actually do is it should shame the perpetrators for life. That should stick with them.
Exactly.
But like what we do is we kind of, as our society, like I feel like the women have a tendency, or the rape victims, I should say, actually, because mm-hmm. I don't think it's just women.
True.
That, you know, that you're not a three-dimensional person anymore.
Yeah, like this moment defines you. I mean,
yeah, it takes over your whole life. And that's another scary thing about bringing it up. Like, people don't realize that, like, that sticks in our society, that sticks with you, that stays with you, and you are now that person that got raped.
Yeah, think about Google problems. You know, like, if you think about Rick Santorum, it took him years to get the definition of Santorum off of the first few pages of his Google results. And like, let me be clear, I was totally cool with him having that problem because he's a dickbag. But we think about victims, and if you search your name and the first things that come up are articles and articles about your assault, and you think about employers, they're looking you up, or if you're a teacher and your students are Googling you and those are the first responses, that is a constant re-victimization. And there are no organizations that I know of, and there certainly aren't state ones, please correct me if I'm wrong, that pay to get a consultant in to pay to change your Google results. That's a cost you have to incur. Ugh. If there are organizations doing that work, please tell us, because I would love to know about it. But on top of everything else, you have to figure out how to fix your Google results. And it shouldn't.
Because you don't want to like to feel like you're only your victimhood.
Yeah. And like something that was forced on you then becomes a definition of you.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrible.
Since we were talking about that before, because like I've heard a lot of people being like, don't be a victim, don't be a victim. And it's like, well, first of all, if you're a victim, like something bad happened to you.
Yeah.
And also like nobody wants to be the victim. Like I've been sexually assaulted and I don't see myself as a victim, but I do see a society that wants to put people who have been attacked in a box just for speaking up or wanting to like work through it, or and like all those people want, those quote unquote victims, is that they want to hold these people responsible. You know, like people aren't just like looking for book deals, they're like trying to work it out or like be heard or to not have that person ever do it again.
Yeah, and to feel safe.
Yeah. Since we were talking about the Me Too movement, woman that I was speaking of, Soraya Shamelli, also brought up a really good point. I really liked this, was that on the flip side of Me Too is that men also quietly are thinking Me Too. If this guy did it, then I did as well. And does this make me that person? Because, and I found this really interesting and I agree with this, is that like it's an interrogation of masculinity and manhood. Mm-hmm. Like men are way more likely to doubt women's testimonies unless they have been assaulted themselves, which is something we don't, I feel like there's a lot more boys and men who have been assaulted that we are willing to admit because they don't have a safe space to come forward because it's so enmeshed in like the shaming of masculinity. Mm-hmm. And this was the interesting fact, was that men are nervous and uncomfortable because all these women being attacked and highlighting their lack of security means that they are failing at a fundamental function of their manhood to protect the women. Protecting is the number one job with which boys are tasked, and so they don't want to hear about it. And I agree with that so fucking hard, because we live in an impossible ideal for our society. Like, you can't, that's to impose on, to impose on little boys.
Yeah, and
impose.
And and I think I listened to this podcast a while back and I can't remember the name of it, but it'll be in the episode notes. I'll find it. But it was two different people in college telling stories of a sexual assault. It's the victim and the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. And she had a hard time naming it, and he didn't realize, he thought it was just a bad hookup.
Oh, wow.
And didn't even realize until he decided to be an RA and went to a training and was taught about sexual assault and was like, oh my God, I think I did that.
Yeah.
And so it's not to, you know, because we like, you know, you like to think that we should know better. But if we live in a society that tells men that like you should pursue women who are playing hard to get, or no means yes, or, you know, like all of these kinds of things, then, and we, if we don't take the time when people are younger to really have an honest and truthful conversation about consent, I believe that there are a ton of dudes who have sexually assaulted people who don't even realize that they've done it. I think that one of the people who sexually assaulted me wouldn't define it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like I feel like I was taken advantage of, and he's probably never given it a second thought in his life.
Yeah, those are like the gray areas and the nuances that I want to talk about, because I feel like I've had that happen to me so many times where I'm like, oh, I felt really uncomfortable after that happened. And so like, how do we talk to people where we're like, they think they're just being persistent because that's what they've been taught.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily make them a bad person, but we need to fucking fix that shit now.
Yeah, yeah, it's a failure of society writ large that we're having this conversation, and that people like Donald Trump, to bring it back to what we're talking about today, are able to take advantage of the system and take advantage of the fact that men get away with it more often than they don't, to continue to sexually assault and rape at least 25 people. And there are for sure more, because they all don't come forward.
Yeah.
And one of his victims, Natasha Stoyanov, she wrote an article about Donald and Melania's happy marriage for People magazine and was assaulted by Trump while she was conducting an interview when Melania was upstairs. And they were going, he invited her to see this grand room, and she went to look at the room, and they walked in, and he closed the door and shoved her against the wall and put his tongue down her throat and then propositioned her for an affair while Melania was pregnant. And she had spoken to a couple of friends. A lot of them, some of them told her to not come forward because she could be blackballed because he was so powerful. But one of the themes that kept coming up was, in these stories, the women would be like, I had no idea how big he was. I didn't know how strong he was. I didn't know how imposing he was. Mm-hmm. And, he's a really big dude. And I think some of that gets lost. And one of the quotes that she said in this article was, it's possible he doesn't remember. It was over 10 years ago, and I assume I am one of many, many women. That's one of the victims, because the ease with which he attacked her and proposed an affair was so great and so simple that she just figured she was one of many, one in a line. Ugh. And that's terrifying.
Ugh.
Yeah, these stories super matter.
And like, he just thinks he can get away with it. Like, and he knows that he can get away with it, because he has and did and like...
And keeps getting away with it.
And he's still getting away with it.
Mm-hmm. He admitted to assaulting women on tape. And it didn't matter. That tells you everything that you need to know. Like, if this is like too long, didn't listen, you know, he admitted to assaulting women on tape and it didn't matter. So right. Like, that's really the thing.
He's been accused of raping a 13-year-old girl.
That's a child, media.
That's a child.
That is not a young woman.
That's like
a child.
That's the thing we're supposed to drop everything for.
Yes.
That's who we're here to protect.
Like. Yeah. Pedophilia is something that we can all agree on, except for pedophiles.
You would think.
It's bad. And even some pedophiles.
You would think. But there's Larry Nassar. And now there's our president.
And Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein, who's a fucking piece of shit.
But yeah, so this woman, Katie Johnson, parroted a story that a lot of women have told about Epstein, that she was recruited by another woman to join in this sex ring and was brought to parties, to sex parties. Mm. And at this party, multiple parties, she encountered Trump. I don't even want to read the things that she said, because it'll make you think of Trump's penis, and nobody wants to do that. I don't want to do that.
I never want to think about that man's penis again.
No. I just think that he doesn't exist from the waist down. It's just like a white area. Like, it's just like,
he's just invisible.
He's invisible.
He's just a pants.
Exactly.
His pants, like, connect to his shoes.
Yes, exactly. There's nothing under there. There's nothing under there.
I mean, E. Jean Carroll said she never had sex again.
Never.
That's how scary his penis is.
Yeah, she says at the end of this piece, which you all have got to read, it is incredible.
It's so beautiful.
It's an and horrifying. I cried like 12 times. But it's an excerpt from it. It's so important.
Reading that, I feel like every woman is like, yeah.
Yeah.
You just keep going forward.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing about like people being like, oh, you're just victims. And it's like, you have no idea how women just like pick themselves up and keep going.
Yeah. And they say that trauma changes you, like actually changes your physicality. It like alters your DNA. Mm-hmm. Like, trauma actually, it's not just that you can't move past it. It's that it changes who you are.
Yeah.
So she said she had been up in the Bergdorf
Goodman
lingerie department area when she was raped. And she said, that was my last hideous man. Because, you guys, she wrote a book in which she went through her list of her most hideous men, which don't include the less hideous men. These are the worst of them. She says, the Donna Karan coat dress still hangs on the back of my closet door, unworn and unlaundered since that evening. And whether it's my age, the fact that I haven't met anyone fascinating enough over the past couple of decades to feel, quote, the sap rising, end quote, as Tom Wolfe put it, or if it's the blot of the real estate tycoon, I can't say, but I have never had sex with anyone ever again. Her assault was in 1996. Mm-hmm. That's trauma. Imagine your bully. Imagine your rapist. Imagine someone who treated you really poorly and then seeing them in a position of ultimate power, mm-hmm. and having to look at them and hear their voices and relive that over and over again, having them pay for nothing
and not being held accountable at all.
I mean, that'll make anyone crazy. Like, I feel like I would have a total meltdown.
Yeah.
And he has patterns.
Isn't that what they teach you in detective school?
Yeah. So look for the patterns, connect the dots.
Like, all of them are, he, you know, forcibly kissed somebody, forcibly groped somebody, was always going up girls' skirts. Mm-hmm. There was a couple times where he, like, gave somebody a Tic Tac and then, like, forced his tongue down their throat.
Mm-hmm. Walked into dressing rooms where he knew that women were going to be in various stages of undress. Mm-hmm. Because he owned the Miss America pageants, he thought he owned the participants. Mm-hmm. And he would walk into the dressing room.
And also, he's not alone. It's the people that around him that allowed that to happen. As, like, for me, you're just as guilty. Just as guilty for allowing it.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Hope Hicks, and Michael Cohen.
Absolutely.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
You covered it up. You're just as bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because just you know what he is.
Yep.
And you're allowing him to walk free.
He's a monster.
Around women.
Ugh.
Who he feels entitled to.
We're talking about how he's not being held accountable, and they're not even, like, questioning him. Like, and I did think this was, I read this, and I thought it was really funny, but the House Oversight Chair, Elijah Cummings, told Vox, "Every single reporter wants to know about that, and we haven't gotten there. I've got 85 investigations going on." Oh my God. I was just like, what the fuck?
Elijah Cummings is one of the most fucking badass. I fucking love that dude. Where is he? Like, Baltimore, I think.
He's essentially just like, listen.
We're trying.
We know.
But this is what everyone's been saying from the beginning. It's that they shock you with so much shit that, like, you don't have the time to process any of it. So yeah, and there is a process, and bureaucracy takes for fucking ever.
Yeah.
So they have to go through these bureaucratic things, and we've got fucking Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, who's there, just fucking, like, stonewalling.
And the Senate, who's gonna stonewall everything.
Yeah. I feel like it's also hard to bring women in to testify. I think Christine Blasey Ford was, like, such a long, grueling, horrible process.
Yeah. You watch these shows on TV, whatever, like SVU and stuff, and they're talking about who you can put, what victim you can put in front of the jury. Mm. Who's the perfect victim? Mm. And, like, that sort of thing makes me nauseous. Mm. Because you've got, all of these people have been adversely impacted, and all of their stories should matter. No, regardless of how they grew up, you know, whether they've been in trouble before, any of that kind of stuff.
Well,
a victim is a victim is a victim.
Yeah. Whether you believe it or not, and obviously I believe that we should believe women, but let me play devil's advocate for a minute and kind of, you know, if you're skeptical because he's the president or whatever, or you support him, whatever, fine. 25 people is so many people.
With such similar stories.
Don't you think you should at least listen
and
consider it? Maybe this man is guilty of doing wrongdoing. Stephen Colbert was like, you know, if somebody told me that you pooped in their sink, if it was one person, I'd think, maybe you didn't do that.
Yeah, because, like, how do you even do that? That's a tough maneuver.
It's a tough maneuver. But if you got through 73 years and 25 people said you shit in their sink.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you start to think, oh, he shits in people's sinks.
Yeah, don't let him in your bathroom. Don't let him in the kitchen. That man can't be trusted around sinks.
That's such a perfect point. Like, how can you possibly discount all of that?
Yeah, I mean, that number of people is, like, the equivalent of a lot of our, you know, middle school classes. Imagine everybody in your class got assaulted by the same person.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yo, this is a pattern. And here's the thing.
Women.
Right. And especially because, you know, we talked before about victims and all victims mattering. And we've got people who were, like, you know, nationwide known advice columnists. Nationwide we've got is on your
side. I'm sorry.
It's not an ad. Although Nationwide, talk to us.
Yeah.
We take your money. But, you know, you think about like all of the women in the pageants and the journalists and the woman who was on The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. And these are women with connections, with access, a lot of them with money. And that doesn't matter either.
Right.
So like this whole idea of like, quote unquote, the perfect victim and who are we going to believe? It's actually kind of hogwash because we don't fucking believe anybody. So at the end of E. Jean Carroll's article, which again, you have to read it. She said she went through a whole bunch of questions that she basically like pre-answered questions that she knew were going to come. So like, did she report to the police at the time? She didn't. Did she tell anyone about it? She told two people.
Oh, so good.
Does she have photos of photos or visual evidence? Why were there no sales attendants in the lingerie department? And the one that struck me the most, it just summarizes everything. Why hasn't she come forward until now? And she said, quote, receiving death threats, being driven from my home, being dismissed, being dragged through the mud, and joining the 15 other women who've come forward with credible stories about how the man grabbed, badgered, belittled, mauled, molested, and assaulted them, only to see the man turn it around, deny, threaten, and attack them, never sounded like much fun. It fucking doesn't.
Yeah.
So, there you go. E. Jean Carroll for the win.
Well, this was a fun episode.
Yeah. Thanks to who's your friend that suggested it? This was a suggestion.
Oh, it was a suggestion.
This was a suggestion from Shannon. So thank you.
She said that the media is literally just bored with talking about it, which is insane because our president raped people.
Yeah. And sometimes also.
Did we say that yet?
Oh, no, we haven't. How could we get this far without saying
know.
That?
It's so crazy.
Our president's a rapist.
Our president's a rapist. He raped people.
Yeah, he raped a child.
He raped a child. Our president is a pedophilic rapist.
He raped his wife.
He raped his wife.
He raped someone in the dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman.
Yeah, not just someone. Ask E. Jean.
And he didn't ask her.
He didn't ask E. Jean.
That's in the title.
Oh, my God. President's a rapist.
Cool.
We love you. Be good to people. Listen to the people who say that they were sexually assaulted.
That should raise alarms. Let me put it this way. If one person in your life accused you of pooping in their kitchen sink, I could be persuaded to believe that that is a lie. But if over the course of the 73 years of your life, 22 separate people came forward with detailed accounts of times you had pooped in their kitchen sinks, I'm going to start thinking you're a sink pooper.
All right, we're going to do some facts about animal reproduction.
So possums hardly have to be pregnant at all because the gestation period is 14 days.
Fuck you, possum.
Right? I mean, they only live for like 2 years, so.
True. Well, I can one up that because a chipmunk's pregnancy might be shorter than your menstrual cycle. And my first reaction to that was, fuck you, chipmunks.
Yeah, so like it could be like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. My bad. So it's the whole menstrual cycle. So chipmunks are only pregnant for 31 days.
But still.
Still, but possums win that round.
Some otters experience delayed implementation, which means that they're able to delay the development of their pregnancies in order to allow for birth in an optimal month. So, like, you could be like, I don't want to be super pregnant in July. I'd rather have my baby early spring.
Wow.
You know?
That would be fucking incredible.
Right?
Apparently, spiders can choose which sperm to use. Certain species of female spiders are able to engage in a practice called sperm dumping. Dope!
Wow. So they can just be like, my body's going to shut that whole thing down. I referenced Todd Akin like way too much. I can't help myself. It's just so applicable.
I mean, I wish we had this power,
right?
Like, to not get pregnant. That would be dope. We don't.
Yeah.
She can either expel and dispose of the sperm or use the sperm to conceive.
At my bar, there's like a skip button for the jukebox.
Yeah.
I just be like, skip.
Skip. No. Hashtag pro-choice.
Yeah, right? So apparently, male koalas have double-headed or bifurcated penises, and females have two vaginas. So they could have like double, it's like double penetration, double penetration. The female has a third birthing vagina.
What?
So it has like a sex vagina and then a birthing vagina.
For the koala?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like I don't use this except for on special occasions.
And that's for birthdays.
Okay,
so the kangaroo has three vaginas. The outer two are for collecting sperm from sexual encounters, while the central vagina is exclusively for giving birth.
Yeah, so kangaroos and koalas are like super buds.
Yeah.
They have the same scenario.
Two in the pink, one out the stink.
You pooped a baby. You ready?
Yes.
We can just do it. All right. Thank you for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here.
It never gets less gross. Make sure to rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast.
Oh my God, please rate and review us. Please. It really helps.
It helps so much.
Do we sound desperate yet?
Because we are.
A little bit.
A little bit desperate.
If you love us, then you'll write about us. You can also check us out on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina.
On Twitter at Welcome to My Vag.
At YouTube, you can just type in Welcome to My Vagina.
And send us an email at WelcomeToMyVagina.com.
We also have an email if you want to email us questions. We're totally down to answer them at WelcomeToMyVagina.com. I'm going to not correct myself. Just, you know, you get it. Vagina. Check out all of Rebecca's musings at FranklyRebecca.com.
And make sure to check out all of the other awesome content at More Banana.
Yeah.
Thanks, Caitlin. She's our producer.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
See you next Tuesday.